Let us pray. Most gracious Father, you have provided us with your holy word, by which you call all people to be united in you. Grant that through the preaching of your Son, Jesus Christ, we might all be brought into unity with you and with one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is not an easy sermon for me to preach. It wasn't an easy one for me to write, not because there's not a lot to say, but because I have too much to say, as is usually the case. But in this case, it's a very personal, very close to my heart moment, because this will be the last time that I'm here officially as your field worker. And in a lot of ways, it's more than that, too. It's more than just my last time here as your field worker that makes this difficult for me. My heavy heart is caused by a lot more than just moving on to some new stage in my journey. This bittersweet feeling that I have, because it is sweet, it's exciting to be going on to another new thing to help serve the church, but it's bitter because of the fact that, well, I'm leaving. It's more to do with the fact that I'm constrained one more time in my life to leave family behind. I had to do it when I came to seminary, left my family in Minnesota, and now as I go off to Illinois for a year, I'm leaving you all. And you really all have become my family in the past 2 years. And so now as I go off, I have to do it again. I have to leave family behind. And so for the foreseeable future, we might be apart. But I'm sorry. And that's really what saddens me today. But yet I can say it again with joy that you are my family, since you are the people with whom I've been able to receive God's word and receive his true body and his blood for our salvation. And that's really what has made us family, above all other things. And so as I was sitting and writing this sermon, all the texts, of course, having to do with God's word today very clearly, and I asked myself, okay, well, what is it that bound me to you as family, though? What is it that made us family? And as I thought about it, I realized that what bound me to you all in such a deep way was more than just the mere company that you provided, because any group of people, whether Christian or not, can provide company. What makes me family with you all, what makes you part of my family, what makes me part of yours, is more than just the fact that we've been around each other in close proximity to one another for 2 years. It's a lot more than that. It's more than that we've just had chances to share some nice chit-chat. Because again, even non-Christians can share a nice chit-chat. What's been the thing that bound us together was not a building. We've changed. I've been in now 3 different buildings at different times here with you all. It's not a building. It's not the nice, fancy altar with fancy paraments and all of these fancy things. No earthly thing has made us a family. And in a way, I'm really glad of that, because as I've said before, quoting C.S. Lewis, whatever is not eternal is eternally out of date. So rather, I had to think to myself, well, if it's not earthly things, if it's not mere earthly company that's made us family, what has made me fall in love with you all at St. Peter's? And if it's not money, if it's not buildings and fancy equipment for service, as much as those things are nice, if those aren't the things that have bound us together, what is? Why do I call you my family? And I assure you again that it is nothing on this earth that has made us family. Nothing on this earth can make a family. At least not a family worth having or being a part of. Instead, what has made us family is God, and only God, who has brought me to love you by bringing us all into fellowship with the body of Jesus. It has been God, working through the preaching of his word by Pastor Barnes that has united us in him, in God, eternally. Yes, it is the fact that you and I are joined together in hearing the word that has made us an everlasting and true family, that no separation by time or distance or even death will ever be able to break. More exactly still, it's not just random thoughts or words about God that have joined us together, but rather it is our being joined to God in the preaching and the confessing of our faith that has made us a family. The same faith that the apostles held then is the same faith that we preach and confess now. This faith has made us a family. It is Christ dwelling among us in his word, in the preaching of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It is this that has kindled this familial love in me for you all and from you all toward me. It is the faith that we confess together, this faith which is not of our own doing, which is not on account of anything we can do or that we can possess, but which is the work of God in us through the bold preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else. We would not be a family if it weren't for that. If it weren't for God's word being present among us, and if his word ever stopped being present among us, if we ever became about something other than the word of God, then our love would disintegrate. God's word is the glue that binds us. If his word and his sacraments ever stopped being administered, then we would also cease being together. It is as Christ says in the gospel lesson for today, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so what is the Sabbath? That age-old question is, what does this mean? As it always says in the small catechism, what does this mean? The Sabbath is more than just a simple day during the week. It's more than just a social gathering. The Sabbath, in its true sense, is really about the people of God receiving the things of God, the word of God. The Sabbath is about gladly hearing and learning God's word, as the Catechism says. The Sabbath is about receiving the things which Jesus has to give to us, his people, so that we might have eternal life in him. The Sabbath is about receiving Christ crucified, dead, buried, and risen, so that we might have life in him together. And so when the Lord says the Sabbath was made for man, he's not saying that the Sabbath is just this thing that we can put whatever we want onto it, as though we were the lords over it. Rather, Christ is saying that the true meaning of the Sabbath is receiving God's word in it and to make it about our own concerns kind of distorts the meaning of it. It destroys the meaning of it. No, the Sabbath, again, is about receiving God's word, receiving Christ. And so if we did this, if we put our own thoughts and our own plans above God's thoughts and plans, then we have made ourselves Lord over the Sabbath, when it is Jesus who is Lord of the Sabbath, as he himself says, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And so instead, what Jesus is saying about the Sabbath, as we rightly understand it, is that it is the Father's gift to us, where he gives us the things that are truly needful for this life. The Sabbath is when we give or receive from the Father what he has to give, and he gives us everything that fulfills his gracious will towards us. The Sabbath is that time when we receive our spiritual nourishment from God, thinking about the things of the altar, specifically the body and blood of Christ, in and with the bread and wine. Just as David received his food from God's dwelling place, as we also read about, when David went into the tabernacle, as the gospel says. Have you never read what David did when he was in when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered into the house of God, that is the tabernacle, and ate the bread of the presence. The Sabbath, then, the receiving of the word of God through the preaching and the sacraments, this is what makes us the church. This is what makes us the body of believers. The Sabbath is what makes you and I an eternal family. It is our gathering around the things of God which has kindled my love for you and your love for me, the love that you have so faithfully shown me over the past 2 years. It's not an earthly power, an earthly force of will, but God's heavenly power and heavenly will, which are revealed in his word, the word of his Son. And so now I pray that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would preserve us all as one unified church, one family, even as we are separated by time and space. Amen.
Amen.